listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Hello to everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Diaconia, a call to service. The Greek lesson for today, as we do every month, Diaconia, the Greek word for service. It's also the root word from which we derive the word deacon. My name is Deacon Richard Hudzik, and I am privileged to serve the Archdiocese of Chicago as the Vicar for Deacons. I also get to work with and pray with the good people in Westchester, in the recently unified parishes of Divine Providence and Divine Infant Jesus, and fairly soon we'll get a new name for that entity. And joining me this morning, as he does every month, is Deacon David Brensick. He is the Associate Director of the office, and he too is assigned to a parish working at the Unified St. Louis de Marillac and St. Barbara. Say hello, David.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, you're supposed to say hello, David. Okay. Anyway, the third entity in the studio this morning is Deacon Keith Strom, and he also is an Archdiocese of Chicago deacon. Say good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Keith.
There we go. Okay. I'm glad you can... can listen to instructions. The hope for this show, as we bring it each month, is to offer to you instances of diaconal ministry that is of service to the people of God. We offer it clearly not to pat ourselves on the back. Rather, Dave and I want to hold up for you examples of diaconal service that maybe the listeners might want to emulate and adopt as their own. It's an entree into living the life of Christ. It's an entree into serving or trying to be, as deacons try to be, that is an icon of Christ the servant, to be a person who reminds people of Jesus Christ in his capacity as a servant of all who come his direction. And as I mentioned, Keith Strom is with us this morning, and we're going to talk about the work that Keith is doing here in the local area, as well as his international reach. So, Keith, tell us something about yourself. Who are you? Why are you here? And why should we listen to you?
Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, my name is Deacon Keith Strom. I am a deacon here in the Archdiocese. I was ordained in 2015. I am a husband and a father. My wife's name is Debbie. My daughter's name is Sienna. She's 8 years old, just moving into third grade. So we're preparing for the new school year, although she is not looking forward to that as much as we are.
Mm-hmm.
I have lived in Elk Grove Village, where I served as a deacon at Queen of the Rosary Parish for since my ordination in 2015. Before that, I was on staff there full-time as the Director of Evangelization and Discipleship until about 2015, and I'm currently transitioning now to Our Lady of Ransom Parish in Niles. I have a particular love for the Midwest, and particularly the suburb where I live, Elk Grove Village. The title for that village is An Exceptional Community, and I really do feel that way. I really enjoy being there.
And I used to practice law. I also happen to know that when you would send out a summons to somebody for court process, you would have to check that the village is in three different counties. There's a small piece of it that's in Kane County, and there's also a piece in DuPage County, and the bulk of it's in Cook County. So I just a factoid for you to file away, that it's a rarity in Illinois that's in three different counties.
Yeah, we're like a border kingdom,
sure. Yeah, okay. So that, forget I said that. Now, you are generally in the, your work is in the field of evangelization. Is that, and what's that look like? What kind of dimensions does that take for you?
Sure.
And what is evangelization? How about there?
Sure. I think at its most basic, I think evangelization is helping to introduce people to Jesus Christ and to life in Christ. The church understands evangelization very broadly and also specifically. Broadly, evangelization is really the whole process of making, maturing, and missioning disciples of Jesus Christ. And so the work that I do in the parish is oriented a lot towards that, but also the work that I do in a ministry that I founded in 2016 called M3 Ministries, and those three M's stand for making, maturing, and missioning disciples, really is about helping individuals, but also parishes and dioceses really begin to build a culture that focuses on evangelization, mission, and discipleship.
Isn't that what we've always been doing? What's new or different about this? I mean, this is go forth and make disciples of all nations.
That certainly is the essence of the church's mission and certainly the heart of everything that we are called to be. A lot of times, what we've seen over the last 30, 40, 50 years is that we've been very focused inward in our parish life and even diocesan life. And the call has been really to go out. Pope Paul VI, in his encyclical Evangelization in the Modern World, said that evangelization is the grace and vocation most proper to the church. It's her deepest and most profound identity. And so the popes, really the last four popes, have been calling the church to a kind of a renewal of their mission. And so that's what I do in the ministry that I founded, just to work with parishes and dioceses to help do that.
What does that look like, though, in a parish? Are they knocking on doors?
Yes. Well, so that would be many Catholics' worst nightmare. Although in my own parish, Queen of the Rosary, we actually developed an outreach group that went out and began to introduce ourselves to the neighborhood. On a practical level, it can be a number of different things. One of the things that we have to wrestle with is the reality that we cannot pass on what we do not have.
And we're going to pick that up in a moment or two when we come back from this break.
Like I have been baptized, are you able? Are you?
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll talk to Cardinal Blaise Cupich about the recently passed abortion legislation in Illinois. We'll hear from Father Greg Boyle, whose mission is to confront the culture of violence. And we'll introduce you to the newly ordained priests for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
This is Monsignor Michael Boland for the Voice of Catholic Charities. Every 30 seconds, someone comes to Catholic Charities for help. When that help includes legal needs, our legal assistance department offers a wide range of services to give hope and help to vulnerable clients in need. Whether it's a dispute with a landlord, a concern about possibly being the victim of a scam, or an issue regarding family law, clients can feel alone in the complex legal system if they're unable to afford an attorney. Our volunteer attorneys answer our legal advice line, offer one-hour consultations in their areas of expertise, and conduct legal seminars that help low-income individuals. These volunteer attorneys come when their schedules permit, and they often tell us they are grateful for the opportunity to share what they know with someone in need. If you are an attorney and would like to learn more about this volunteer program, please call 312-948-6821. That's 312-648-6821. Thank you for considering joining this wonderful group of Good Samaritans.
And we are back for segment two of Diaconia, a call to service. Before we go on any further, I don't know what the word is, but something in me compels me, and Keith gave me permission to do this, but he made reference to a writing of Pope Paul VI. He called it an encyclical. Point of fact, it's a post-synodal apostolic exhortation. Do you apologize, Keith?
And I apologize for my error, but this is one of the reasons why I love being a deacon in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
There's always somebody to correct you.
I learn from people wiser than me.
There we go. Anyway, David, you and Keith were embarking on what evangelization looks like in the parish.
Yes, and I'd mentioned really this principle that you can't pass on what you do not have. So in other words, in order for us to make disciples, we ourselves have to make Christ the center of our own life. So a lot of the work that I do in parishes can consist of evangelizing events like parish missions or retreats, days of reflection, as well as formation for evangelization. How do we evangelize? How do we ask questions and learn to listen to others? How do we understand the spiritual journey and have a sense of where other people might be in that journey and what they need to move further? How do we share the gospel message? So that can be very practical, hands-on evangelization formation. And then also raising up a generation of missionary disciples, people in the parish who want to do this, who are comfortable doing this, and that takes a period of formation, as well as leadership development, working with parishes to kind of have a sense of vision and to understand what their focus should be, and then to develop their leaders, their staff, and key leadership around this idea of evangelization. So it's a wide variety of things that M3 Ministries does, and I can do all of them with a parish or just what a parish in particular needs.
What kind of reaction do you get from people? I mean, are they excited about this? Are they resistant, scared?
I mean, I think it's a wide variety of reactions. I think for the most part, parishes who are reaching out to me already are moving down a certain path and they want to renew. They just don't know how. We have all of these incredible resources, the Divine Renovation Ministry. You've got the Rebuilt. You have all of these different programs and processes and books, and people go to conferences. They get excited and they come back and they want to do something. They really want to move forward in renewal and they don't know how. And so that's where often they'll reach out to me. And so some staff members will be really open, some parishioners will be really open, but the experience really runs the gamut for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you get into this, or why are you doing this, or what's your source of ability to speak in about these sorts of things?
Yeah, I began really in youth ministry. Many years ago, really focusing on helping young people move into relationship with Jesus. And then as that progressed, I started to form other adults who worked with youth. And then I began to form catechists and began to travel around to different parishes and begin to do that, really talking about evangelization in those different frameworks. About 2003, 2004, I connected up with Sherry Waddell's organization, the Catherine of Siena Institute. Sherry Waddell wrote a very famous book now called Forming Intentional Disciples.
The follow-up book. You've got a chapter.
I have a chapter in the follow-up book, Forming a Parish of Intentional Disciples, on intercessory prayer. And so really that book was a landmark in helping us talk about and see parish renewal and mission and evangelization in a new light. And so we had I had the opportunity to work with her for probably about 12 years. And from there began to work obviously in my own parish and then for the Archdiocese as the director of the Office for Evangelization. And then in 2016, felt a call from the Lord to move into this full time because there was a need. Parishes want to change and they just don't know how.
Okay. Now I have two questions. One is we've mentioned the great popes. We've mentioned Pope Paul VI, and I don't know if we've mentioned St. John Paul II, but there's this phrase, the new evangelization. Is that what this is? Or how do you define, why is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this is essentially the work of M3 Ministries really is focusing around the new evangelization. The challenge is, We toss around phrases like new evangelization,
right,
sometimes it just becomes a buzzword. The new evangelization isn't different from the original evangelization in that the content of the message is the same. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of the world, and he saved us and invites every person into a life-giving relationship. But the expression of that, the transmission of that message in the 21st century, the late 20th century, these are the things that St. John Paul II really was calling the church to do, to find new methods, new ardor, new expressions on how to reach out to the world. And that's one of the things that I help parishes and dioceses really begin to wrestle with.
Now, Chicago, of course, is embarked on this great program of Renew My Church. How does what you're doing complement that or fit in with those kinds of reorientation of structures at the get-go? But then there's this hope for it's not for the purpose of restructuring, it's for the purpose of making intentional disciples at some point. How does M3 Ministries play into that?
Yeah, so the work of M3 Ministries really is the heart of the work of Renew My Church. And I've already been walking with several parishes here in the Archdiocese who have not yet been activated in that process, but who are preparing to do that. And really helping them begin to see that this is a cultural shift as well as a structural shift, that at the heart of all of this is the mission of the church. And mission really needs to drive structure. And the best structural plans and the best strategic plans will really falter if we don't really have a culture that's rooted in evangelization and mission. And so that's kind of the work that I do, and I've been really blessed to see real fruit begin to grow from this.
Now, remind me, M3 is making maturing
and missioning disciples.
Okay, making, maturing, and missioning disciples. Now, that is the, if you will, the umbrella under which you operate these different initiatives or different ways of doing this evangelization. Am I
correct
thinking about that right? So part of this also is not only consultation with staff and parish leadership, also days of reflection or staff development, that's what you do.
Yes.
You come in and work with them. But there's also, as I understand it, you also have the parish mission. And what's that look like under the auspices of M3?
Sure. They're really direct evangelization events, like frontline. I call them frontline evangelization events or opportunities for encounter with Jesus. Parish mission often is a 3 or 4 night event where really it's a breaking open of the gospel message and an invitation for people to say a deeper yes to Jesus or to say an initial yes. The church calls that the first and fundamental conversion. And after that first and fundamental conversion, every day then becomes an opportunity for a deeper conversion from there. But the church teaches that it's the kerygma, the basic gospel message that awakens faith. And so when we hear the gospel message preached, when we hear it shared in many different contexts, the Holy Spirit is at work in our hearts. And so there is a desire for those who are open to really open and surrender even more to the Lord. And so that often happens in the context of those missions.
Now, when we come back from a break, I want to follow up on what that concretely looks like at the day after. And I also want to talk to you about some of the other work that you're doing. So stay tuned.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Zupich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
It's our Jubilarian issue, so we have hundreds of men and women religious celebrating milestones in consecrated life. We take a look back at the 150th anniversary of St. Joseph Hospital, which has been open since before the Great Chicago Fire. And we examine why the anointing of the sick isn't just for the dying.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Do you serve your parish as a cantor or extraordinary minister of Holy Communion? If so, Liturgy Training Publications is offering online formation this fall that will deepen your understanding and practice of your ministry. From the cantor's tune-up to preparing to serve as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, there is a workshop designed to meet your needs and enrich your ministerial experience. There are three options available for cantors and psalmists, and three offerings available for communion ministers. Take one or take all three. For dates and registration information, please visit ltp.org or call 1-800-933-1800. That's ltp.org or call 1-800-933-1800.
My right hand or at my left is not for me to give, but for
the Lord. Okay, and we're back for our third and final installment segment of Diaconia, Call to Service. Keith, just before the break, I was asking you about the follow-through or the follow-on from a parish mission. It's three or four evenings usually. It's rousing talk. It's prayer together. It's encouraging. It's heart-stirring. And then you leave town.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the memories. Or how concretely, what would be one thing that you would hope people walk away with or that the parish implements after a parish mission?
I think this is it's the biggest challenge for anything that we do in the church that's focused around evangelization. I like to say this, that programs don't make disciples. People make disciples. And so the opportunity to hear the gospel message and to say a deeper yes or an initial yes is powerful, and it's a real moment of grace, and that needs to be followed up by people who are willing to accompany those who have been through this process. So some small group process would be amazing with disciples who have walked the journey themselves and who are really able to help other people unpack this experience and grow and mature in the disciplines of discipleship.
So the small group, are there resources that might guide a conversation? Anything that occurs to you off the top of your head or maybe something you've written?
There's a really great organization called Catholic Christian Outreach, and they are like the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, which we have here in the United States.
Right, right.
They're like that for Canada, and they have created several small group processes geared towards helping people who make the initial yes to follow Jesus and preparing them all the way to share Jesus with others.
And what's the name of that outfit?
Catholic Christian Outreach. They're an amazing organization. Catholic, I'd recommend their resources.
Presumably they're on the web.
They are.
Okay.
Yes.
And I made mention, I know you've authored a couple of books. What are your titles the books? Not Sir Deacon, but...
One of the very first book that I wrote was really a written proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, with an opportunity for people to take the good news chapter by chapter, in a sense, and wrestle with it and reflect. That's called Jesus, the Story You Thought You Knew.
Okay.
And another book that I've written was really on growing in freedom in Christ, and that's called The 10 Biggest Lies of the Enemy and How to Combat Them. And both of those are available via Amazon.com or your local Catholic bookstore.
And you can also search, your last name is Strohm.
That's correct.
And you pronounce it Strohm.
Yes, but I take whatever pronunciation
whatever. Just
people give me.
Just don't call me late for dinner,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah,
right. Okay, all right, good. Something else, before we close, I'm aware that another dimension of what you do is prayer ministry, healing ministry. Of course, we've got a couple minutes to fully expatiate on the life of the Holy Spirit in the church. But what are you talking about when you're talking about this prayer ministry?
When we talk about healing ministry, fundamentally, we're really talking about the life of life in Christ, which is freedom, which is healing and integrity and wholeness. It's freedom from anger or fear or addiction or things that the brokenness that we carry in our own lives, but also then also the physical issues that we may have. And Benedict XVI said this. He said, healing is an essential element of Christianity, and understood at a sufficiently deep level, he says, healing contains the entire content of redemption. And so what we're trying to do when we pray with people is we're really trying to help them move into this experience of receiving what they already have been given in baptism and hopefully sealed in confirmation, this the reality of freedom and life in Christ.
Is this part of the missions that you do, or is this something separate?
That actually, it moves together often, because when I invite people to hear the good news and to say yes to Jesus, I invite them to surrender not only their hearts, but their brokenness, their sorrows, their physical issues, all of that. But when we pray with people in particular, we're really just asking the goodness of the Lord to just move in to their lives in maybe a new way.
Hmm. Now, this moving into your life in a new way, that I'll put words in your mouth, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but it calls for people to be invited into what is troubling them, what is oppressing them, maybe their own history or their family history or things that they've done or not done in their lives. Is that this guilt that we can bear? Is that a piece of it?
That's exactly right. It requires that healing is a journey, and it often requires great vulnerability on the part of people who want to receive from the Lord. It means I use this crazy analogy of when I was younger, I could only have like one handful of candy a day from my grandparents' M&M jar. And so I remember one day I had filled up my hand just full of candy, and right before I was going to eat it all, my grandmother said, "Hey, stop." And I looked behind me, and there in my grandmother's hands was the only thing in this life I like better than M&Ms, peanut M&Ms, right? But I'm only allowed one handful of candy a day. So in order for me to receive that which will be kind of more enjoyable for me or better for me, I have to let go of what I have in my hand, what I think is better, what I think is good. And often that's this invitation. We have to really open up those painful parts of our lives and surrender them to the Lord so that healing and wholeness can take place. And sometimes God brings physical healing. Sometimes he brings great freedom. But sometimes there's some more journeying to do.
Okay. Now, I hear in the background our closing anthem here, but I want to thank you, Keith, and always thank you, David, for joining me this morning. And we just wish the best for you, Keith, on your ministry. And with, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, we know you'll be changing lives and introducing people to our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God. Thank you for having me.
Keep up the great work.
Join us every Monday through Friday at this time for Catholic Chicago. You can stream our programs live or listen to past programs by visiting our website, archchicago.org, and clicking on Radio TV. And please connect with Catholic Chicago on social media.